Hare Krishna devotees.
Hare Krishna.
I hope you're all doing nicely. I'm sure you are. So many nice devotees in Singapore. Well, yes, as Devaki Nandan Prabhu reminded us, yesterday was the Shivaratri day, and you know, at least those of you from Hindu-type backgrounds, you're well aware how it is seen and how people relate with it and how they celebrate it, the Hindu people, generally Tamil people and so on. And it's generally in the mood with the sort of from the perspective that Lord Shiva is an independent controller deity, and you know, like in some cases even like he's a competitor with Vishnu or with Krishna or whoever else, Durga and company. At least many people, really many people, they do see it like that. But and in that light, we generally don't really celebrate it so much around the world. But in some of our temples, we do have a festival. But it's all looking at Lord Shiva from a little bit different perspective, which is all based very much on scripture. And I'm actually going to read a verse from such a scripture that actually Lord Shiva is a great devotee. He's a very great devotee. In fact, if you're familiar a little with Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto, chapter 13, verse 16, we won't read the whole verse now, but there is a very famous line there, which I'm sure you must have heard many times, probably before. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 13, 16. Have I got it right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, 12, 13, 16. And it's actually, I think it's the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a lot of glorification pointing out how extraordinary and wonderful is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that particular verse says, along the lines of, as different people are the greatest, what is it, Achyuta, right? Something about Achyuta.
Ganges
is the greatest of all rivers. Achyuta is the supreme
among deities.
So Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. So Shambhu, Lord Shiva, is the greatest amongst the devotees. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, so of course it's extremely authoritative. So in some places we do observe the Shivaratri and have a festival and invite people and people come, but then we try to present Lord Shiva in that light. And actually, for that matter, just last night, a matter of hours ago, we were in Bengal. We were in a place called Panihati. I don't know if you've heard of that place. It's now become absorbed in Calcutta pretty much. But it's a very famous place of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. It's where Raghunath Das Goswami did his chipped rice festival. There's a whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita dedicated to describing that. So it's a very important place, very nice place, and we have nice ISKCON temple there, and the devotees are developing things there. So we had a program there last night, and we explained also this from this perspective, and the people were very appreciative. They're really appreciative because they don't really get this sort of idea so much. So anyway, let us discuss a bit this evening, and we'll begin by reading actually a verse from Brahma Samhita. It is Brahma Samhita chapter 5, verse 45, which is like, it's a very definitive verse. Again, it's very authoritative. Lord Brahma is speaking. Very definitive verse, which is defining and stating clearly in very interesting terms who is Lord Shiva actually, and what is his position, what is his nature. So let us read that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So yes, this is Brahma Samhita then, chapter 5, verse 45. I'll just read it myself. Shiram yata dati vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti heto ya shambhutam apitata samupaiti karyad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhashami. Translation: just as milk is transformed into curd or yogurt by the action of acids, but yet the effect, curd yogurt, is neither the same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu, or Lord Shiva, is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So this is giving an insight, important insight, into who is Lord Shiva. And again, it's very authoritative. It's not just some, you know, what some person thinks, somebody's opinion or whatever. This is Shastra. This is Vedic. This is actually, if you're sort of familiar with terminologies, and the different divisions, categories of the Vedic literatures, this is part of what is called Shruti. Shruti. Anyway, we won't get into technical things too much. But this is part of Shruti, Brahma Samhita. It's one of the Samhitas. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and, you know, various other literatures, they're part of Smriti. Yeah. So we won't go into that could be the subject of another presentation. It's very interesting. But this is really very authentic and foundational Vedic literature, Brahma Samhita, spoken by Lord Brahma. And he is now giving us that insight into who is and what is Lord Shiva. Very interesting example. just as milk is transformed into curd or yogurt by the addition of some acid, citric acid or lemon juice, which is acid, or you know, a large part acid, or just adding more yogurt, just adding yogurt, which is acidic. So milk is transformed into yogurt. And as Lord Brahma says, that that yogurt, when it is now yogurt, it is not, obviously it is not the same as milk. Obviously that goes without saying. But at the same time, you cannot really say that it's just something else, like orange juice or water or something. It's just something else. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But it's not the same thing. That might sound like double talk. It's the same, but not the same. Sure. But actually, this is the principle. This principle of same, but not same, is a very essential, very important principle in Vedic philosophy, in Krishna consciousness. And it was expressed in very specific... Well, it's in Bhagavad Gita, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, but the name for the philosophical principle was first expressed by Srila Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, the very, very close students of Lord Chaitanya, as achintya bhed abhed tattva. Tattva meaning truth, basically, something, some reality, tattva. But now in this case, first of all, achintya means there is an element of inconceivability. Chinta basically refers to our mental functions, consciousness, intelligence, rational functions. But achintya, not subject to those things beyond the grasp of our brains. So this is achintya. But of course there are degrees of achintya. This is not like totally inconceivable, just beyond us absolutely, and we just cannot get any idea at all. But it's somewhat inconceivable that abhed means different from, and abhed means not different from. And this is one of the most foundational principles in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that basically everything is different from Krishna, except Krishna. He's not different from himself. Everything is different from Krishna, but at the same time not different. Yeah, and what that means, Prabhupada gave a number of examples to illustrate the point. Here's a simple one. We're sitting here in our wonderful center, such a nice center, and everything is lit up. We can see each other and see Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra Devi, because there's light. But the light is coming from the light fittings. If you take out the light fittings, then, you know, they're up there. But if you take them out, the light, which is down here, it's some distance away from the fittings, the light which is down here will also go. You might think, well, the light fittings are up here, the light is down here, So if you take out the light fittings, the light here will remain, but no. But the light here, you know, it's separate. There's some number of meters difference. So you cannot exactly say that it's just the same. But at the same time, you cannot say it's just different. There's, you know, this kind of subtle idea of being one with but different from. Or a fire, a heater, or a fire. It gives out light. It gives out heat. You may be sitting here, the fire may be over there, and you'll feel the heat. The heat, what is it? It's just the fire. But the fire is over there. It's not here. So, but that fire, you cannot separate it, the heat from the fire. It is part of its being. But it's also somewhat different. So same principle here, milk and yogurt. You cannot say that yogurt and milk are just the same and that's all there is to it. You can't. You know, back, I don't know about so much now, but back in the old days when I first went to India, that was 1976, then, you know, India was very different. Very different from today. And you had to really watch out what you ate. You should still watch out what you eat. But then you had to really watch out because your digestive system would become accelerated, even sometimes strongly accelerated, if you ate the wrong thing. Or, you know, among various other things, if you drank too much milk. Yeah, too much milk, particularly in those days, would tend to give you diarrhea. And what is the cure? Well, there's a number of cures. But the classic cure is yogurt. Yeah, it's a classic, or at least part yogurt with green bananas, yogurt with flat rice, you know, like power or whatever. This is a classic cure for diarrhea caused by too much milk. So obviously, There's a significant, substantial difference between milk and yogurt, but you cannot just say it's something else, just something different, like orange juice or something like that. So it's a little, you know, you have to think about it a bit. But therefore it's called achintya, somewhat inconceivable. But it's a nice idea, and you know, generally the devotees can grasp that. So who is Lord Shiva then? Well, what this verse is saying is that Lord Shiva is a form of Vishnu. He's actually a form of Vishnu. He's not, like, generally speaking, Lord Brahma is a living entity like us. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, you'll see in one of the purports there, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that when the living entity first enters the material world, falls down from the kingdom of God, Srila Prabhupada says very clearly, the first birth you take when you first enter the material realm is you become a Lord Brahma. So it sounds like then we have all been Lord Brahmas. What do you think of that? And today we are sort of having a Lord Brahmas reunion. something. Everyone, just everyone, millions of living entities have been Lord Brahmas, but then they, you know, sometimes Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead, sometimes he doesn't. There are four types of Lord Brahmas: pure devotee, jnani, materialist, like expert materialist, and a mixture of any or all of those types. Right, so generally, Lord Brahma is a living entity like us, but due to previous activities, they get that big, high, powerful position, Lord Brahma. But now Lord Shiva is different. He is not a living entity like us. Actually, we don't want to confuse the matter, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini makes the point that sometimes a living entity becomes a Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord Shiva. And for that matter, if you read, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't give you the verse number offhand, but Lord Shiva is speaking, and he says, if you, what is it now? If you remain, if you maintain the standard of, I think it's complete celibacy, or it may be, or alternatively, being a perfect Brahmin, not a, you know, nowadays Brahmin from Singapore, but a paka, first class Brahmin, then Lord Shiva says, then you become, you can become Lord Brahma. And then he goes on to say, if you do it for some more lifetimes, you can become me. Yeah, this is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But generally, in all but very rare cases, Lord Shiva, there's only one. He is a form of Lord Vishnu, and he expands into the different universes. So he's a form of Lord Vishnu, but at the same time, he's not exactly the same. And this example is given, classic example, like milk, Vishnu, and yogurt, Shiva. And the thing about, you know, if you think about that, milk, you can turn into yogurt. And actually milk, you can turn into many things. Yogurt is basically yogurt. You cannot reverse the process and bring it back to being milk. It has achieved a certain state, and that's it. It's like permanent change. Of course, you can also make different things out of yogurt, but at least the point here is you can't change it back into milk, but milk you can change into yogurt. Yeah. Anyway, so milk is like the origin. Yeah. So, nice example. And what is the state then of yogurt? It has been soured, as we all know. It's soured. It's acidic because some acid has been placed in it. It's nice. Mm. It's very good for you. It's very tasty. But it is acidic. So the idea here is that Lord Shiva, through contact with that souring agent, is like Lord Vishnu, but he's a bit sour. Yeah. A bit sour. Not really on the same level as Lord Vishnu. In other words, in a certain sense, and one has to be very careful not to take it too far, but one cannot overlook the fact that in a certain sense, he's a little lower, slightly influenced by that souring agent. And what was the souring agent? Durga. You could, if you read Brahma Samhita, you know, the English is difficult, but if you can read it and follow it, then you'll see that Vishnu glances over the material nature, means the primeval form of Durga, Mother Nature, material nature. Vishnu glances. The glance is Shambhu. And the glance contacts Durga, Mother Nature, and impregnates the living entities into the womb of Durga, Mother Nature. And by that contact, Shiva becomes influenced. Yeah. And soured. Little bit. Now, like I said, we shouldn't take it too far and think that Lord Shiva is simply in Maya. You know, he's been influenced by Maya Devi, Durga Devi. Because he is the head of one of the Vaishnav Sampradayas, and Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Srimad Bhagavatam says he is the greatest Vaishnav. So it's very subtle. But this is the basic idea, and it's good to grasp this, try and deal with this idea. Yes. So, Lord Shiva, there's an interesting, very interesting actually, discussion. It's in Padma Purana, one of the other. There are 18 Puranas, 6 in goodness, 6 in passion, 6 in tamagun. Padma Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest in sattvagun, in goodness. Then there's Vishnu Purana, then there's Padma Purana also, and a few others. I don't have the list right on hand. But there's 6, and Padma Purana is also sattvic Purana. There's a very interesting discussion there between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And Lord Krishna has just told Srimati Radharani, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. And Srimati Radharani says, wait a minute. Just hold on. Just hang on a minute, please. How can you say that? Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. How can you say that? I'm innocent. Just consider the company he keeps. The people he associates with. They're all, you know, bhutas, pretas. You use these terms, right? Pishachas. In English, we might say hobgoblins, witches, ghouls, you know, all these shocking characters, and ghosts, like super tamasic. He associates with all those people, and you know what they say, Radharani said. You can judge a person by the company they keep. So look at this, Lord Shiva. Come on, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. How can it be? He hangs out with these people. And Krishna says, no, you don't understand. He is Patita Pavan. There's also a name for Lord Shiva. He delivers the most fallen. And they are really the most fallen. It's not that he likes spending time with them and getting into the same things they're into. It's his kindness. They are the just most fallen and hopeless cases. And he's giving them his sacred association just to deliver them. So don't judge him like that. You know, there's... In Chaitanya Bhagavat, I think, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse. If you see Lord Nityananda entering into a bar, a liquor store, don't think he's going in there to partake. He's simply going out of his mercy. So that's the principle. And when Lord Krishna said that, Srimati Radharani said, oh, I see. Okay. But, Radharani said, but, listen to me. Listen to me. This Shiva, he smokes ganja. And ganja, that is just tamagun. So, and you know, Prabhupada said it's against the regulative principles. How could it be Vaishnavanam Yatashandru? He smokes ganja. It's terrible. And Krishna said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand that. You know, these people he's giving his association to, they think smoking ganja is very nice. And some of them think it helps you progress spiritually. So just to impress them, so they'll take him very seriously, that, wow, look at him. Oh, he's one of us. And, you know, encourage them like that. He smokes ganja. But Krishna made the point, it's in the 8th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva, to save the universe, what did he do? He drank an ocean of poison. What to speak of a bit of ganja? Enough poison to kill all of humanity. Yeah. And it just had no effect. His throat became a little blue, Nilakanta. But other than that, no effect whatsoever. And in that regard, Prabhupada said that Shivites, you may know, you may have seen, in India, they generally like to smoke ganja. They're very enthusiastic. And many of them say, well, Lord Shiva does it, and we're his followers. But Prabhupada said, so, you want to follow Lord Shiva and smoke ganja? Well, first you drink an ocean of poison, and if you survive, then you can smoke ganja, because it's going to have no effect whatsoever. So it's like a sort of abstract preaching technique. And Radharani said, oh, I see. All right. But, this Shiva, he is very strange. He has three eyes. Three eyes. I mean, come on, please. How can he be a great Vaishnava? He's weird. And Lord Krishna said, you know how he got his third eye? He performed austerities for 60,000 years just to see me. And when he saw me, he became so overwhelmed. He felt, seeing you with two eyes is just not enough. I want more. And so he got a third eye just to see me more. You know, Rupa Goswami prays that these two syllables, Krishna, they're so sweet. I wish I had not just three three ears or two tongues. I wish I had thousands just to relish it. So Krishna explained in that way. And Radharani said, okay, but sometimes he has five faces. Five. Lord Brahma only has four. He sometimes has five. That's just bizarre. And Krishna said, it's the same thing. He wants to see me more. That's why. And then, Radharani said, oh, I see. Okay. But, he gives people material things very easily. He's known as Ashutosh. He very easily satisfies people's desires. Material desires, which lead them away from you. So how can he be a great Vaishnava? He's helping people forget you. And Krishna said, no, you don't understand. He just does that because he's a demigod. It's his duty to me. I've given him this duty. It's like a thankless task. He just has to do it. But he doesn't like doing it. That's why he's Ashutosh. That's why he fulfills the people's desires very quickly. Krishna explained. Someone comes and knocks on Lord Shiva's door. Of course, he doesn't even have a door. He lives under a tree. But they come and they have a shopping list. Lord Shiva, give me new motor car, Mercedes-Benz, give me big house, give me better job, give me bigger television, 84 inch, to watch, so I can watch Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. And other such masterpieces. What do they call it? Choti Bahu. Isn't it? What is that? Dilwale Dulhana Le Jayenge. And so they come to Lord Shiva, and he doesn't like it, because what is he doing? When you see pictures of him, he's sitting under the tree. He's chanting. He's chanting the names of Lord Ram. Or since Lord Chaitanya appeared, he's chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And now some materialist comes along, give me all these things. And Lord Shiva thinks, oh no, it's one of them again. Give me a list. Okay, come, Mercedes-Benz, listen, take a Rolls Royce. Take five Rolls Royces. You want a big house? Take a palace. You want 84-inch television? Anyway, take an even bigger one. You want $10 million? Take a billion and just go. And just get out and leave me to my chanting. This is why he fulfills people's desires quickly. It's not that he's thinking that these things are so nice, and it's so nice to give them to the people so they can enjoy them, and I like doing it. You know, Lord Shiva himself, he's living under a tree. He doesn't, you know, they may come and ask, give me, what, Pierre Cardin sari, Christian Dior dhoti, perfume from Paris. Come on, He just wears some animal skin around his waist. And he doesn't have a Rolls Royce or even a Mercedes. He doesn't even have a Toyota. He has Nundi the Bull. So, he's not interested in these things. He doesn't care about these things. But it's his duty. What can he do? A thankless task. And Radharani said, oh, I see. All right. But he eats datura. This horrible stuff. Ugh. It's terrible. It's terrible. How can you say, how could anyone say Vaishnavana Yata Shambhu? And Krishna said, no, no, you don't understand. He wants the best for me. And for himself, he takes just any rubbish, whatever's available, just to keep himself alive. He doesn't care. But simply the best for me. So different things like that. And Radharani said, oh, I see. But he wears a garland of skulls. I mean, seriously. How can you say he's a great devotee? And Krishna said, no, listen, you don't understand. They are the skulls of great devotees. And he wears them to honor them. Don't you do that. We're not on the level of Lord Shiva. Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you must have heard of him. The spiritual master of Prabhupada's spiritual master. He would sometimes eat out of a human skull. Just, you know, just showing his total disdain for material existence. Don't do that either. Yeah. So, Radharani said, but hang on a minute. Wait a minute. On his body, he has the ashes of cremated human bodies. This is tamasic. How can you say he's a great devotee? And Krishna said, no, you don't understand. Those are the ashes of the body of Sati, his wife, who self-immolated, just burnt her body up because he was offended. And things like that. How about this for the last one? Look at him. He's got a cobra around his neck. Cobra! They're envious, tamasic creatures and scorpions. Come on, how can you say he's a great Vaishnava? And Krishna said, no, you don't understand. That cobra is Anantashesh, the divine transcendental serpent of Lord Vishnu. And then Radharani had to accept, okay, Vaishnavana Vyatasha. So he's a great devotee. He's in that position. He is a form of Vishnu, but he has been permanently transformed into this kind of marginal, unusual condition, which can be, it is somewhat achintya. A little inconceivable. And therefore sometimes it's said that Shiva Tattva is very difficult to understand. Yeah. And therefore it's not surprising that people become confused. But he's a great, great Vaishnav. And he himself says, famous verses actually from Padma Purana also, I'm sure many of you have heard of it. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param, Tasmat Parataram Devi, Tadiyanam Samarchana. This is Lord Shiva in Padma Purana. That of all systems of worship, the highest is worship of Vishnu. But Tasmat Parataram means higher. Parataram. Yeah, higher. Like there's, if you're familiar with you know, some of the details of Bhagavad Gita, Guyam, Guyataram, and Guyatamam. You familiar with those terminologies? Guyam, secret. Guyataram, more secret. Guyatamam, most secret. Yeah. So, Tasmat Parataram Devi, he's speaking to Parvati, that even higher is worship Tadiyanam Samarchanam, worship of Tadiya, which particularly is referring to devotees, but it's also referring to just any paraphernalia of the Lord, like his things, that his clothes and his things which he uses. But particularly the devotees, they're the most important tadiya, like paraphernalia of the Lord. Lord Shiva says that the worship of them is even higher than the worship of Vishnu himself. Yeah. And therefore, Jiva Goswami, I mentioned Jiva Goswami earlier, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna is explaining different things to Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita. And in one verse again, I'm sorry, I can't remember the verse number, but he says, the highest thing is the devotees. Yeah. Highest thing is the devotees. And Jiva Goswami comments on that, explains about that in Bhakti Sandarbha. And he says that worship of service to the devotees, worship of the devotees or service to the devotees is even a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. If you can just sort of think about that a bit. Serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. Yeah. So yeah, Tadiyana Samarchana, the highest form of worship, worship of the paraphernalia of the Lord, but particularly his devotees. So yeah, Lord Shiva, very special devotee. And he participates in Krishna Leela. He participates. If you go to Vrindavan, Mayapur to some degree, but definitely in Vrindavan area, the greater Vraj Mandal area, you'll see in many places which are Krishna places, pastime places like Radha Kunda, for example, but you find on the banks of Radha Kunda Kundeshwar Shiva, Shivalinga. And in many places, Lord Shiva acts as what is called Dikpal. Dikpal. Dik meaning directions, sort of the surrounding areas. Pal meaning protector. Krishna's Gopal, protector of the cows. So Dikpal, the protector of the directions, and it's understood he's there as as a devotee, serving Krishna by protecting Vraja and the different pastime places around throughout Vraja, protecting them from material influence, from nonsense people and all these types of things. But actually Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, he participates in Krishna's pastimes. And there is in Vrindavan town itself, very famous Shiva Linga in Vrindavan town, named Gopeshwar Mahadev, Gopeshwar Shiva. It's in Vrindavan town, just near Vansivat, about 100 meters from Vansivat, where the Rasadad started. It's on the sort of eastern side, or maybe northeastern side, of Vrindavan town. So Gopeshwar Shiva temple's there. And it's all connected with very famous and important pastime. Lord Shiva, as you know, he's Nataraj, he's the king of the dances, he's a great dancer. Now you think that Aishwarya and Abhishek can dance. We've not seen Lord Shiva dance. Whoa, that's something else altogether. I don't know who the latest is, I'm afraid, from Bollywood. I'm out of touch, fortunately. So, yeah, so Lord Shiva from up there, he was watching, the demigods were watching Krishna's pastimes, and particularly the Rasa dances, the most attractive and beautiful of all the Lord's pastimes. And Lord Shiva, because he's a great dancer, he thought, I want to go down. I want to get into the dance. Yes, I want to dance in the Rasa dance. So he came down. He came down. But overseeing the pastimes in Vrindavan is a person named Purnamasi. She is Yoga Maya, the Leela Shakti, the Leela Shakti, the pastime potency of the Lord in the Vrindavan area. Yeah, otherwise known as Yoga Maya, but supreme feature of Yoga Maya. So Lord Shiva arrived. Okay, let's go dancing. But who should appear in front of him but Purnamasi? Where do you think you're going? I'm going to go dance in the Rasa dance. Great. Fantastic. Purnamasi said, wait a minute. Just hold on. The only male in the Rasa dance is Krishna. There cannot be a second male in the Rasa dance. So, sorry. And she said, if you want to enter, because he was very disappointed. If you want to enter, you'll have to take a female form. So she took Lord Shiva to a place called Mansarova. It's still there, just across the river, on the eastern side, from the main, sort of the main side where the town is, where our temple is. It's a lake, and it's a very nice place, Mansarova. She dipped him in the water and pulled him out, and he came out as a gopi, Gopeshwar Mahadev. Yes. So I can just mention to you gentlemen, you just be careful, okay? You go to Vrindavan, you just be careful about Mansarova. So now he's in a gopi form. Wow, amazing. But still, you know, Lord Shiva is big. Lord Shiva is a big, powerful person. And now, Gopeshwar Shiva was a big, strong gopi. Yeah, big, tough girl. And still, you know, the cobra, the Ganges, the ashes, and etc. Yeah, but in a female form now. And off she went, I guess, to the rasa dance. And Gopeshwar Shiva arrived at the rasa dance. It was just about to begin. And the gopis turned around and saw Gopeshwar Shiva. Wow, who is this? Who are you? And Gopeshwar said, yeah, I'm a gopi of Vrindavan. I'm here for the dance. When are we starting? And the gopi said, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Now listen. Who are you actually? What's your name? Gopeshwar had to think, what's my name? Oh, wow. Purnamasi had not given him a name or her. So, and he couldn't say, well, actually, I'm Lord Shiva, you know, so don't worry about it. So Lord Shiva, he became bewildered. Name. Me? Name? My name? You mean what they call me? Yes, that's what we mean. Oh, I see. Okay, yes, well, what is my name actually? You know, I've just forgotten my name. I'm so excited here. I've forgotten my name. Oh, the gopi said, ah, I see, you don't know your name. Okay, of course, of course. All right then, tell us, what village are you from? Village. You mean village? Yes, village. Where you live? Oh, where I live. Well, yeah, you know the village. You know that one. It's just you go down there and you just turn left and then you turn right and you keep going and it's, you know, there's some trees and you know that one. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you don't know the name of your village. Well, tell us, what are the names of your parents? Parents? And he couldn't say, well, actually, I have no mother. I'm simply born from Lord Brahma. Couldn't say that. Parents? You mean Mata and Pita? Mata and Bapu? You mean them? Yes. Oh, well, I just call them Mata and Pita. It's bad manners to call them by name. So you don't know your parents' name, of course. Well, now listen, Dad. What is that powder on your body? It looks like the ashes of cremated human bodies. What is it? Well, you know, latest cosmetic. Good for the skin. I'm very good. That's nice. And what about that snake around your neck? Oh, He's a pet, he's friendly. Don't worry about him, he doesn't bite. Oh, good, that's nice. And what about that fountain of water coming out of your head? What is that? Oh, that's very useful. It keeps me cool in the summer. You should get one too. And the gopi said, listen. We're not going to let you in the rasa dance. You are just too strange. In fact, we are going to beat you up and kick you out. And poor Lord Shiva. Because again, you know, well, don't underestimate the gopis. They may be like young village girls, but they are very powerful. Extremely powerful. So they started surrounding Gopeshwar Shiva, and he or she didn't know what to do. But then Purnamasi appeared on the scene. She does things. She just comes in at critical times. And Purnamasi said to the gopis, listen, I know this girl. I can vouch for her. She's a nice girl. And she's a bit unusual, but don't let it worry you. She is a very good character. So could you let her into the rasa dance? And the gopi said, no. She'll probably put Krishna off. So we won't beat her up, but we're not letting her into the rasa dance. She's just too weird. And Purnamasi said, well, all right then. But look at her. She's a big, strong girl. Just let her stay just nearby on the edge. And when any unqualified people come, she can act as the, are you familiar with the term? The bouncer. Security. And so they agreed. They agreed. And therefore you find sometimes, not that much, but you find sometimes pictures of the rasa dance. And on one side is Lord Shiva as Gopeshwar. And you can see with a sari on, and you know, but you can see it's Lord Shiva. So it said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati actually said that at the rasa dance, Vrinda Devi is the ticket collector. She checks your ticket. Is it valid? Has it expired? Or is it a counterfeit or something? And if your ticket is not right, she calls for Gopeshwar. And Gopeshwar kicks you out. This is Gopeshwar Shiva. Very special devotee. And if you go to that temple in Vrindavan town, then you'll see Shiva Linga. It's a regular Shiva Linga. But every evening, you know, like the temples in Vrindavan, the other temples, they close the temple around 1 o'clock in the early afternoon. They reopen them around 5-ish or so. In the morning time, Gopeshwar is just a Shiva Linga. But in the evening, they dress Gopeshwar as a gopi. And they got all these spectacular outfits. It's really quite something for Gopeshwar. Many, many different outfits. And it is said that in Vrindavan, there are 5 people who are particularly merciful to the aspiring devotees. That's us. One is Govinda. One is the Yamuna. One is Vrinda Devi. One is the dust. Vrajaraj, the dust. And the 5th is Gopeshwar. Yes. Very merciful to the devotees. or aspiring devotees. So there we have said a few things about Lord Shiva. Hope we haven't disturbed anyone. There is one other thing I wanted to mention, which is also said by Lord Shiva. I just have to locate it. You know, this is a quotation from Shiva Purana. Shiva Purana. Shiva Purana, I'm afraid, is not one of the Sattvic Puranas. It's one of the Tamasic Puranas. Doesn't mean it's really Tamasic. Okay, here we are. Let's just have a look here. Oh, it's actually Skanda Purana. Skanda Purana, Lord Shiva is talking to his son, one of his sons, Kartikeya. Also in Tamil circles known as Muruga, of Kavadi fame, Thai Pusampa. So this is Lord Shiva speaking. Shiva Shastreshu Tad Grahyam Bhagavat Shastra Gopiyat Paramo Vishnur Evaikas Tajjnana Moksha Sadhanam Shastranam Nirnanayas Tu Aishas Tad Anyan Mohanaya Hi. Which means, this is Lord Shiva speaking, the statements of the Shiva scriptures should be accepted only when they agree with the Vishnu scriptures. Lord Vishnu is the only Supreme Lord, and knowledge of him is the path of liberation. That is the conclusion of all the scriptures. Any other conclusions are meant only to bewilder people. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
What should we do now? It's 8:25.
We can take a question. A
couple of questions.
Yes.
Prashna. Ek, do, ek prashna, hai?
If anyone has questions, just use the mic so we can.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this enlightening class. This question is regarding the. You told about the worship of the devotees is better than trying to achieve love for God.
Right. Jesus Christ, says.
Yeah. So in this, so the biggest hindrance that we face is the when we are with devotees, we know them. So this familiarity becomes, a hindrance in actually in respecting and in actually worshiping. So yes. How do we overcome that?
Okay. Well, that's a good question. You know, the thing is this. That because we are conditioned, we've been in material life so long, and those just material standards of dealing, and just the way people interact on the material level, we're very habituated to that. And they say old habits die hard, and some old habits die very hard. Yeah. So we spend time with devotees, but and we may have been devotees for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But it's not so long compared to how long we've been in material life and just, you know, it's all become ingrained into us. So, but the thing is this, we have to to avoid or try to avoid just the sort of infiltration of subtle material influence, including familiarity. One of practically the main things we have to do is, other than, you know, sort of just try and beat it into our minds, but we have to regularly serve the devotees. Yeah. We have to serve the devotees. And we should try and maintain a relationship with all the devotees, relationships, in which a very central part is actually doing things for them. Yeah. Rather than, you know, of course it's nice to just sit together, taking prasadam, talking, did you read this, or, you know, some Krishna conscious discussion, it's very nice. But even that, without regularly actually serving the devotees, even that, you know, at least it's a safer position to regularly engage in serving the devotees. And therefore the Bhagavatam says, what is it now, 1.2.16. Shushasro Shanadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevanat. That by serving the great devotees, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. This is second chapter of the whole Bhagavatam. It's very foundational. Some of the most essential principles of the whole, everything of Bhagavatam and Krishna consciousness, they're there in the second chapter. So, in other words, it is not being said that you will develop a taste for hearing the topics of Vasudeva by just reading a lot or even chanting a lot. Of course, we should read a lot and we should chant a lot. But it's making this particular point that if you really want to get a taste for hearing about the Lord, or in other words, progress, then you should serve the devotees. The devotees means, and Prabhupada explains in these terms, begins with the spiritual master, who's the most prominent amongst the devotees, at least in our lives, our spiritual master. But actually it includes all the devotees. And because the devotees are so dear to the Lord, even more dear than he is to himself, then he becomes most pleased when he sees we're appreciating the devotees and serving and the devotees. And when he becomes pleased, then he gives mercy. And of course, you know, mercy comes in so many ways. But in this case, the particular mercy which has been pointed out is that mercy that you get an attachment for hearing about the Lord, which otherwise is not easy to get. You know, how many devotees can chant 16 rounds in one go without the mind going off from time to time? Who can say, who would be brave enough to say that when I chant my 16 rounds, my mind never thinks of anything else, simply hearing the holy names. So this is a very special mercy. It's very special mercy. Yeah. and it is received through service to the devotees. So that's what I recommend, along with, you know, like trying to appreciate them. I often sometimes recommend, try and memorize the 26 qualities of the devotees. And when you interact with devotees, when you see devotees, try and study them a little bit and see that, oh, look, this devotee is now displaying this quality like that. In that way, develop a respectful and an appreciative attitude. So we should also do that. And we should also really try and chant attentively. But service to the devotees is very important. And Narottam Das Thakur, commenting on the verse, I'm sure you've heard, what is it? Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paechi Keva. He makes the point, no one has ever gone back to Godhead. No one has ever gone back to Godhead without smearing on their bodies the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. No one's ever gone back to Godhead. Yeah. How's that sound? Food for thought. Hare Krishna. Egg or there's not a G over there.
That for every time any living entity falls down from the spiritual world, he starts off his process as Brahma.
Yes.
But there are, for each Brahma, there are so many billions and billions of living entities, and the ratio of the number of Brahmas to the number of living entities is very small. So does that mean that only that many Brahmas, only that many living entities fall down at any particular time?
Well, you know, we've got to consider the scale. There's a question of scale, proportion. You know, in other words, we're talking about a big scale. We're not talking about billions. We're not talking about trillions or quadrillions or even dectillions. We're talking about vast numbers, which are actually achintya to us. They're actually achintya. You know, it's said that the number of universes is infinite. Yeah, that's it. Infinite. Which at the very least means it's such a number, we couldn't grasp what such a number means or what the implications of it are. There's a Vedic number. It's called 1 Koti Maha Oga. It even sounds sort of imposing. 1 Koti Maha Oga. It means 1 followed by 64 zeros. Yeah. So, you know, don't worry. There's plenty of opportunity if someone wants to fall down and then they become Lord Brahma. There's enough universes. It's not that, you know, they're going to have to stagger how they fall down, because there's not enough universes. You've got to wait and then you can fall down. And don't worry, it's not that there's not enough other living entities to fill up all those universes. Okay.
Can we take one last question?
Okay.
Please, Maharaj.
Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that when the Lord glances, then Shambhu is there. That glance has Shambhu.
Right.
And also you mentioned that Lord Shiva is born from Lord Brahma. So how do we understand these two? Are they the same? There's a difference.
Yeah, see, you know, the thing is this, that just like, you know, Krishna appears through Vasudeva Devaki, Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, it's just sort of, you know, you could say, the mechanism that he uses when he appears. And it's not, you know, it's not actually that he's exactly the biological son of either Vasudeva and Devaki or Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda. It's past time he's appearing. So that Shambhu, that's the original form, or one of the original forms of Shiva. Prabhupada, if you're familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you would know that Prabhupada says that in Vaikuntha there's an original form of Lord Shiva called Sadashiva, and he has a Vaikuntha planet. It's in the chapter in the Adi Leela about Advaita Acharya. Yeah, so but when Lord Shiva through Vishnu, not just through Vishnu, but as a manifestation of Vishnu, appears in the material world, first comes, he comes in that primeval form, original form, and then he expands into the universes. He expands into the universes. So, yeah, and because in each universe, we're just talking about unlimited numbers of universes, in each universe, there is a Lord Shiva. They're all expansions from that original Lord Shiva, who is, he's existing, he's described as being sort of existing on a kind of, in an elemental situation, just in the elements, living within the elements of material nature, and then expanding into the particular universes. But then he expands further. You know the description, it's in the fifth canto. It's in the fifth canto of how the Rudras manifested, and from Lord Brahma, the Rudras, and they started destroying the universe. And if it was either Shiva or Brahma, told them, no, you wait, your time will come. So there are further expansions of Lord Shiva, further expansions. And they're living in a place which, according to the Bhagavatam, is called Mahakalapur. They're waiting. There are further expansions of Lord Shiva, and they're waiting for their time to come when they can start destroying the universe. So the different Shiva manifests on different levels in different ways. But when he appears as the, you could say, popular demigod from the Hindu Trinity, Lord Shiva, he's born from Lord Brahma, from the forehead of Brahma, as a manifestation of Brahma's anger. When the four Kalas refuse to become progenitors. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.